Solve, secure, protect. Look to Patel for the independent thinking and cross-disciplinary focus it takes to advance security and safety in a changing world. They provide their clients with integrated solutions that secure our nation and help solve challenges within infrastructure, environment, emerging threats, and deployable mission-ready technology. Their teams leverage their deep expertise to develop science and technology for a healthier, safer, and more sustainable world. Visit Battelle.org to learn how Battelle makes the impossible possible. Welcome to From the Crow's Nest, a podcast on electromagnetic spectrum operations, or EMSO. I'm your host, Ken Miller, Director of Advocacy and Outreach for the Association of Old Crows. Thanks for listening. Well, welcome to our Morning Brew episode on day two of AOC 2021. We are here live at the 58th Annual AOC International Symposium and Convention. It's a pivotal day with keynote speakers and sessions. And before we talk about some of the highlights that we expect to hear today, I'd like to thank our episode sponsor for all today's episodes. Our sponsor is Samtech. Samtech is an international supplier of RF signal integrity and flexible power connectors. They provide exceptional service, quality products, and convenient design tools. Samtech understands that taking care of their customers and their employees is paramount, which makes them the leader in the connector industry. All right, well, my first guest here on our Morning Brew episode is Mr. Scott Cooper. He is a senior non-resident fellow at the Atlantic Council. Scott spent about 20 years in the Marine Corps serving as a naval flight officer in EA-6B aircraft and as a forward air controller. He is also a consultant with AOC, and he is a member of the AOC Convention Planning Committee. So he has been very much working on this convention here this week over the course of the year, and we greatly appreciate his contributions. So welcome, Scott, to the Morning Brew here with From the Crow's Nest.
Thanks very much, Ken. It's great to be here, and what a great conference that you've put together.
Great. So we're here on day two, and we have a crazy schedule coming up here, but it's arguably the busiest day. So before we talk about some of the speakers that are going to be coming through the doors here, I wanted to get your thoughts on some of the highlights you heard from yesterday and some of the sessions that you attended.
Well, I think the first thing from yesterday is just, one, the tremendous speakers that you had, and also the fact that the entire defense industrial complex is thinking hard about spectrum operations and how, well, you and I both have our iPhones in front of us, and we are guaranteed to be able to use those iPhones because the FCC guarantees that. And they say, we're not going to operate in that spectrum and you're going to have free access to that. That doesn't happen around the world. And so we are thinking strategically about those problems. I think we've also seen a shift to what is best termed probably the pacing threat that we need to focus on after many years of fighting two wars in which, well, the use of the spectrum was guaranteed. It was just a foregone conclusion to a lot of us. And so the strategy and the way that people are thinking about how we might have to fight in the next war is really what impressed me, because we're going to have to figure out how to maneuver in that space. We're going to figure out how to protect ourselves to be able to utilize that space. And then, of course, next to my own heart, we're going to figure out how to deny that space to the enemy.
Yeah, and it's very important, because you mentioned in years past and in conflicts in the past, there was an advantage that was assumed. And we had the opportunity to go in and figure out, we had some space to figure out how to adapt if we needed to. But now when we talk about some of the broader strategic themes like great power competition, that advantage is not just eroding, but we have to be prepared to not have that advantage on day one. So how do you plan in advance to, from the left of launch, to be able to have superiority in the spectrum when and where you need it for the duration of time? Because you're not going to have that degree of freedom to figure it out once any sort of conflict does break out.
Precisely. And I think what we're talking about and what you just talked about is that we are going to have to work through the friction of warfare in the spectrum. We've always just assumed that we are going to have free rein to operate in the spectrum, which is what we appreciate every day. We just assume that our GPS is going to work. We just assume, for instance, that our 5G network is going to provide information to us immediately. And that's not the case. We're going to have to figure out how to operate in times where we might not have access to the spectrum, or what kind of workarounds that we can have. I think the perfect example is when I don't have a 5G signal on my phone, I immediately search for a hotspot so that maybe I can have Wi-Fi. Well, in a case where I don't have Wi-Fi and I don't have a 5G signal, I like my home state of Wyoming, then what do? I need to find solutions to be able to utilize the spectrum and not just throw my hands up in the air and say, hey, I'm lost. That's the way it's going to be in any kind of conflict that we're going to see in the future.
So yesterday, you know, some of the speakers that came here, you know, they largely spoke in very strategic terms, whether it's, you know, how we invest in technology or a range of technology, as Undersecretary Heidi Shu spoke about, or General Wilson, retired U.S. Air Force General Wilson, talking broad themes. Today is, as we were talking on our Show Daily episode yesterday with Dr. Conley, he mentioned today is really kind of about people who have to roll up their sleeves and get the job done. So, you know, we start this morning with Dr. Kelly Fletcher, who is performing the duties of the CIO. We also have sessions on JADC2, the Electromagnetic Spectrum Superiority Implementation Plan, and so forth. So today is about rolling up the sleeves and getting the job done. So what do you expect to hear from some of these speakers here today, and what are some of the common threads that our community needs to really continue to pay attention to?
I think you got it exactly right. Today is the roll-up-your-sleeves day, where we're talking about how do we actually get capability, into the hands of the warfighter. I know that's a trite expression, but as one that walked a mile in those shoes, I really appreciated that. I'm really looking forward to the JADC2 panel, Joint All-Domain Command and Control.
And that's the one session you're actually running. So
It is.
So, yeah.
But if you think about this, I think everyone is familiar with that as we've talked about it. We've had similar moments in history when we've had, you know, a revolution in military affairs or those other kinds of things where we're really trying to figure out how to push the technology and actually get something that functions really, really well. If you think about JADC2, we have the ability today to share and bring vast amounts of information. The perfect example, we come to expect that. We have a computer, we have, you know, an iPhone in which we can watch streaming video immediately. The challenge we have is that, for instance, we don't have a constellation of cell phone towers in places that we're going to have to operate.
We're going to be the away team in every scenario.
We will, yeah. Exactly. So how do we solve three problems? And this is what I think JADC2 is really thinking about beyond the strategic. First of all, how do we push vast amounts of information? How do I stream? How do I, you know, stream real time? That means we need a transport layer network. We need a waveform in which we can share vast amounts of information. I mean, 40 years ago, it was thought in the frequency spectrum that a single channel push to talk was the ability for us to share information. You know, now we can stream video on that. But the second thing is we need to figure out how to prevent latency, because if there are delays in that, that could be the difference between winning and losing in any kind of tactical battle. And so if it has to bounce around satellites, you know, through a fiber network under the ocean, and there happens to be a 2 to 10 second delay, that's problematic. And then the last thing, and this is what, again, I think is most relevant to this conference here, is do we have resiliency? Do we have networks that can self-heal? Do we have them that can be resistant to jamming? Again, we have the luxury in the United States in that the use of the spectrum is guaranteed by the FCC. There's no FCC in warfare. And so thinking about how we're going to maneuver in that electromagnetic battle space and be able to guarantee our use of it and have the ability to deny the enemy's use of that in this, you know, joint all domain command and control, because we can't be using semaphores and flag signals when talking between forces.
And then we wrap up the day. I have the honor of joining Michelle Flournoy on stage for a fireside chat. And we're going to talk, you know, DoD transformation and really at the strategic level, how transformation has to change culture and reach throughout DoD and the military services. What do you expect to hear from Ms. Flournoy today? I know that you know her, and she has just a distinguished career in this area. What are you looking forward to?
She's the speaker I'm most excited about. I think part of it because of the life experience that she's had. We're talking, you know, again, as we're here at this conference, the National Defense Authorization Act is on the floor of the Senate, and we're trying to figure out what the defense budget's going to be for fiscal year 22, and then, you know, onward from there. $750 billion sounds like a lot of money, but there's a lot of things, for instance, that you don't have maneuver space on. You're going to have a force of, some 2.1 million people in uniform. You're going to pay them well. You're going to make sure that they're taken care of. That's a cost that you are always, that's a bill you're always going to pay. So where's the maneuver room for us to make priorities about what we're going to invest in? It's not nearly as large as you think. I think if you look at Michelle's experience, you know, she ran two different QDRs. I mean, she ran the QDR in the 1990s when no one knew what QDR stood for. And so she has, you know, seen so many defense budgets, so many reviews, so many bottom-up reviews. And with that experience, I think she's going to be able to say, hey, everyone needs to understand. And this is, I think, what one of the reasons she's here at the AOC. We love to talk about hardware and platforms. And that's a really tangible thing that's easy to grab onto. Where are we going to win? We're going to win in spectrum. We're going to win in AI and machine learning. We're going to win, well, fundamentally in warfare by having a faster OODA loop than the enemy. And that doesn't happen with platforms. That's a capability we need. I'm not trying to discount that. But that's what I'm really excited about, is she's going to be able to talk about, from a defense budget perspective, where's the maneuver space? Because ultimately, if you think about it, your priorities are where you choose to spend your money.
Well, thank you, Scott, for joining me. That's all the time that we have this morning, but very, very much looking forward to all the sessions today, and appreciate your time.
What a great chance to be here. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you. All right, my next guests here on Morning Brew this morning are representatives from Samtech, our sponsor for all of today's episodes. I have with me Mike Dunn, who's Director of RF Business Development, and Aaron Ram, who is a Senior Field Applicator Engineer at Samtech. Welcome, gentlemen, to From the Crow's Nest here at AOC Convention.
Thank you.
Well, I want to thank Samtech for sponsoring all of today's episodes. We have a great lineup of speakers coming and episodes throughout the day. But I wanted to take some time to sit down with you and talk a little bit about your company, a little bit about your history, and introduce really the broader AOC community to your company and why you're here at the AOC. So just to begin, I wanted to ask you, can you tell us a little bit about the history of Samtech, who you are, and why you're here at the show this week?
Yep, Samtech was founded in the 70s as a pins and plastic connector company. They've been producing connectors with quick lead times and the best customer service for decades now. In the most recent years, our push has been in high frequency, high density, and high bandwidth interconnect. That includes RF, digital, optics, power, and otherwise. We're here because military base is pushing us towards faster, smaller, denser, more rugged. Those are all on our roadmap trends, and we're looking forward to seeing who else is here and supporting them.
And for our listeners today, you're here on the exhibit floor. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the products you're showcasing for the customers coming through?
Sure. So most of the products today that we're showing are from the Precision RF part of Samtech. We've been in RF for 14 or 15 years, but in the past 3 to 4 years, we've expanded that portfolio pretty dramatically. We've spent a lot of time and effort developing precision RF connectors all the way up to 110 gigahertz. With the acquisition of a company called PCI recently and the opening of our new facility in Taiwan, we now have the capability internally to not only design, develop, and manufacture precision connectors, but also cable assemblies and cables. Samtech also has a fine cable manufacturing facility in Portland and Northwest, and with that plant we have a coax cable line, so we have began developing many of our new precision high speed low loss cables at that facility. we also are bringing some new products to market that are pretty unique to the precision world. One is a family of what we call bullseye products that are designed and developed to test high-speed silicon all the way up to 112 gigabits per second. We're also working on a really unique technology where we've taken a technical look at waveguide technology and are developing a flexible dielectric waveguide, which is pretty new to the industry. We have four first samples available at the show this week, and hopefully we'll have a full release sometime in the middle of next year.
So you just mentioned, you know, Samtech is a growing company. It's global. And you have a diverse array of products in the RF area. What are some of the trends that you see in the industrial base, and how is Samtech positioning itself for success in the market that is increasingly uncertain moving forward?
So as Aaron mentioned, you know, Samtech has been renowned throughout the years for being a technology leader. We pay very close attention to the many different innovative trends that are taking place in the industry. And we're actually quite excited because, you know, typically we have one or two catalysts in the industry that are driving technology change. But in the past 3 or 4 years, there are quite a number of new catalysts that show us a great amount of excitement for technology development between 5G, high-speed silicon. The digital world is moving very quickly from, you know, 28, 56, 112, and hopefully 224 gigabits per second.
And that exponential increase in speed, and we have a 5G session, is going to really shape everything that we do commercially and militarily.
Yeah, I mean, 5G is a really interesting subject because we're really only beginning to see the event of some of the many, many different technology trends that will develop from that technology. Autonomous driving is one, you know, communication and satellite, phased array antenna technology. In particularly with the military marketplace, the cyber episodes that are going on around the world today are really starting to push technology limits for us and for the general industry. Samtech is very well positioned because we're a global organization. We've got manufacturing plants in multiple countries. We also continue to expand our technology facilities here in the U.S. with cable manufacturing plants, cable assembly plants, high-speed cable plants. So in general, I think they have, we see a very bright future for the connector industry. We're really only beginning to see what these new events will bring to the market.
Well, Mike and Aaron, did you have anything to add to that?
I'll just add on to that in the SOSA space and the industrial military space, we've seen a lot of adoption of COTS devices, off-the-shelf, commercially available packages that have kind of flown down to this market through the data center and commercial applications. We're seeing heterogeneous packages that are coming up with new ASICs, not just FPGAs and AI processors and GPUs, but also a lot of custom specs. In order for them to be SOSA compliant, the most important thing is that they're interoperable and intermateable. So standards such as VPX, VNX, and these chassis form factors that are getting smaller and smaller are going to require interoperability with different ASICs, FPGAs, and CPUs. Samtech's Firefly, for example, is an optical transceiver at 100 gigabit Ethernet today, scaling up to 800 in the future, SR compliant. Will work with anybody's off-the-shelf transceivers, and so that's very popular when you can control half the system and the sensor hasn't been defined yet. You can pick anyone else's stuff on the far end. On an analog sense, we're seeing 2 to 18 gigahertz is popular for electronic warfare, but the millimeter wave space is expanding for a lot of point-to-point communications and all the EW jamming and comms that go along with that. And so for Samtech, our focus is now on 65 gigahertz backplane interfaces, including those for VNX standards. The Vita 74 spec is allowing for optical and RF in the future, and so we plan to follow that roadmap all the way through. In addition, we're working with ASIC package vendors on products like our SciFly and our optical on-package technology like the Firefly, leveraging COTS components that will allow you to do XSR, VSR, and even like 7-meter range links that are 56 gigabits per second and beyond. We've got 112 gigabit PAM4 demos already. And our plan is to basically, you know, make these components cost-effective, commercially off-the-shelf available. We can build them in the U.S. if we have to, but we don't prefer to if we don't need to. And just helping the open source market kind of get all the components commercially available to reduce cost and time to market.
And one of the sessions we had yesterday, it was a community business meeting with the SOSA standards. Were you able to take a part of, attend that session?
Yep, absolutely. Sam,
what were some of the takeaways that you had from that panel discussion?
So I would say that Samtech is following many of the standards and participating in certain select views. The takeaway is that customers are asking for same performance that we've been seeing, but in smaller and smaller spaces. And so being able to put 100 gigabit signals right next to each other, smaller and smaller, comes with density, thermal disadvantages, crosstalk headaches. And so what Samtech is hearing from all those things is that we need to be able to model, simulate, EMI protect everything on a smaller and smaller scale. And basically we're gonna leverage, you know, all the COTS silicon providers out there and all the heterogeneous ASIC packaging going on out there, and develop connectors that follow those roadmaps. For example, like RF SoCs, whether they're incorporating 50 ohm signals or 100 ohm signals, we wanna have the interconnect that sits next to those products that enable smaller SOSA form factors.
Great. Well, thank you, Aaron, and thank you, Mike, for joining me this morning. It's very interesting to learn about your company. This is the first time I've actually been able to interact, so I really appreciate you taking time to join me here on Morning Brew at AOC 2021. So that will conclude this episode from the Crow's Nest. Stay tuned for more episodes today. I have interviews with Brigadier General Anne-Marie Anthony from Stratcom, Ms. Vernita Harris from the Office of the CIO, and of course, I'll be on stage this afternoon with a fireside chat with Michelle Flournoy, which we will release as an episode later in the day. It is also not too late to still attend AOC 2021. Just to reiterate that if you are in the area, registration is free for the exhibit floor and the general sessions and keynote speakers. So if you have some time to come down here, visit Samtech, visit some of our other exhibitors, please do so. I think you'll find it a worthwhile experience. Again, I'd like to thank Samtech for sponsoring all the episodes today. Samtech is the service leader in the connector industry. Thank you for listening. This podcast is brought to you by Battelle, the world's largest independent, not-for-profit, applied science and technology organization. Since 1929, their mission has been to translate scientific discovery and technology advances to benefit society. Through markets such as health, environment, infrastructure, industry, and national security, Battelle has been delivering cutting-edge solutions that impact the well-being of the world and help keep us safe at home. To learn more, go to battelle.org/connect. That's BATTELLE.org/connect.